TCM says its cylinder recall is on schedule. A promising airshow circuit newcomer is dead in Florida. And a heritage aviation business announces its first layoffs ever. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. Teledyne Continental Motors says it's made excellent progress on last month's recall affecting cylinders on certain six-cylinder engines. As we reported, TCM said it found some individual cylinders made starting in November 2007 were manufactured with a faulty tool which cut cooling fins too deeply into the casting, resulting in a weak spot prone to premature cracking. TCM told us at the time it wanted to get those cylinders replaced at its expense by the end of this year. The company says it's on track to meet that goal. The company says that since the recall on February 12th, 500 replacement cylinders have been produced and shipped, and 14 domestic service centers have been contracted to handle cylinder replacements, with more domestic and international locations expected to be named. The company reports a production backlog that was caused by the problem has been cleared, and new and rebuilt engines not involved in the recall are available with a 4 to 5 week lead time. Aero News has learned an up-and-coming airshow performer is among the victims of a fatal plane crash in Pasco County, Florida. The Tampa Tribune reports Paul Lopez took off in his MX-2 aerobatic plane with an unidentified passenger from Zephyr Hills Municipal Airport just after 12 noon Eastern Time yesterday. Authorities got calls about a plane crash about 10 miles north of the airport at 12:21. Officials have since confirmed the plane was Lopez's. Lopez was a banker who owned Aerobatic Activities Incorporated and had performed at events around the country. According to an online profile, Lopez competed intermittently since 1998 and began flying air shows in 2006. His next scheduled performance was to be at this weekend's Tyco Warbird Air Show in Titusville. Witness accounts are not clear, but at least one reported hearing attempted engine restarts before the crash. Another described a pair of loops followed by a spin, ending in a fiery crash. Watch for updates as we get more information at aero-news.net. A decline in the use of business aircraft is being blamed for the first layoffs in the 53-year history of Duncan Aviation in Lincoln, Nebraska. KOLN-TV News reports the business aircraft service and support company employs over 2,000 workers at facilities in Lincoln, Battle Creek, Michigan, and 23 other locations nationwide. A statement on the company website pulls no punches. Quote, "With the present economy and the media and political grandstanding against private aviation, business conditions in our industry have continued to erode. We have advised our employees that we're in the process of developing a reduction in workforce plan," unquote. The company says details will be announced shortly. Duncan had already cut production line hours and cut pay at all other positions and postponed plans to build a new facility in Provo, Utah. The government of North Korea yesterday warned the U.S., Japan, and South Korea that any attempt to intercept a rocket it's about to launch, claimed to be carrying its first satellite, will be met with force. The Breitbart News Agency attributed the story to the state-run Korean Central News Agency and reported a military official said, quote, "We will retaliate any act of intercepting our satellite for peaceful purposes with prompt counterstrikes by the most powerful military means," unquote. U.S. intelligence, based on spy satellite photos, suggests North Korea is preparing another test of its long-range Taepodong 2 missile. The communist state insists the launch will carry a satellite for peaceful purposes. Following an earlier threat against South Korean civilian airliners, the regime of Kim Jong-il has further warned that its soldiers have been ordered to be fully combat ready during joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises this week along the DMZ, and prepared to, quote, "deal merciless retaliatory blows," unquote, should there be any intrusion on either its territory or its airspace. Nuts. There go my plans for spring break. Up next on ANN, where will the Obama budget knife fall on military procurement? NASA says delays and overruns are being caused by counterfeiters, and Canadian airlines are being forced to give away free seats. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Defense experts are trying to size up how serious President Barack Obama is about his promise to reform defense procurement. The president pledged last week that the, quote, days of giving defense contractors a blank check are over, unquote. But saying it is one thing, and doing it at a cost of thousands of jobs during a recession is another. The New York Times notes that two early indicators of policy to come may be the European missile defense system, which has already been put in play as a bargaining chip with the Russians for more help in keeping Iran nuke-free, and the fate of the F-22 Raptor fighter. Former Pentagon official Lawrence J. Korb tells the paper canceling the F-22 would send a strong signal, and while Lockheed Martin says the move would cost 25,000 jobs directly and as many as 70,000 more indirectly, Korb notes that most of that impact would not happen for at least 2 years, while work already contracted is completed. But, he adds, to effect lasting cuts in defense spending, quote, you need a president who says to Congress, put this in there and I'll veto it, unquote. The F-22 program has suppliers in 44 states, so opposition to cuts in the program could be considerable. American University professor Gordon Adams calls the missile defense program low-hanging fruit that could yield a quick $10 billion cut. His list also includes a stealth destroyer for the Navy at $3.3 billion. Even the Navy says it can't afford that one anymore. If you build your own aircraft, you're probably aware that counterfeit parts, even bolts, are an increasing problem. Maybe you've learned to avoid prices that look too good to be true to avoid the counterfeits. But what if you paid full price for aerospace parts, then found out late in your project you'd have to tear it apart and rebuild? NASA says that's exactly the problem it's facing. Called on the carpet last week by the House Science and Technology Subcommittee to explain cost overruns and project delays, NASA Acting Administrator Christopher Scolesi explained the problem. Quote, we find out late they are counterfeit parts. We find out about it while sitting atop a rocket, or worse, find out about it in space, unquote. He adds that the problem has been going on for years and is getting worse. The phony parts usually carry authentic-looking logos and manufacturer markings and are sold at premium prices. The Houston Chronicle reports that trade in counterfeit parts now represents 7% of world trade. In a decision which sounds like a nightmare for airlines trying to stem financial losses, Canada's Supreme Court has refused to hear an airline appeal of a law which requires giving away free extra seats to disabled and morbidly obese passengers. The appeal was filed by Air Canada and WestJet, the latest exchange in a 6-year battle over a policy which requires airlines to charge the same fare to all passengers, even if they need a second seat for equipment or a caretaker, and even if they're simply too large to fit in a single seat. Both carriers tried to argue that policy would cause undue financial hardship in difficult economic times. Organizations representing disabled and obese passengers are cheering the failure of the appeal and promise to push for laws which define when a caretaker is needed to accompany a passenger and determine how large an obese passenger must be to qualify for an adjacent seat. Those decisions currently are left up to the airlines. The Canadian Transportation Agency estimates Air Canada will incur additional costs of 77 cents per ticket to comply with the law, and WestJet 44 cents per ticket. Coast Guard officials have called off their search for a pilot missing off the coast of Southern California since Friday, saying it's unlikely the man survived in the cool ocean waters. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports Stone Froberg rented a Cessna 172 from the Golden Wings Flying Club at Montgomery Field late Friday morning. The 70-year-old is a recently certificated pilot. He did not file a flight plan, but told acquaintances he planned to fly to French Valley Airport, about 46 nautical miles to the north, and then back by late afternoon. A boater 35 miles off the coast reported seeing a plane crash into the ocean about 2 p.m. Coast Guard search crews were dispatched. A few hours later, searchers found debris off the coast of San Clemente and an oil slick. Coast Guard Lieutenant Joshua Nelson said the water temperature was between 50 and 60 degrees Fahrenheit, giving a person about 16 to 24 hours of useful consciousness. Still ahead, the Iridium network is back to full strength. Boeing welcomes 3 new orders. And this airline never flew, but its VIP lounge was amazing. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Iridium announced yesterday it has replaced a satellite lost 3 weeks ago in a collision with a non-operational Russian satellite. Service was maintained throughout Iridium's 66-satellite network while the company maneuvered one of its in-orbit spares into position last week. Iridium CEO Matt Desch praised the teams from his own firm and from Boeing who managed the Constellation. Quote, they moved quickly, efficiently, and effectively to limit the minor service degradation caused by the collision and to return our Constellation to its full configuration, unquote. The company insists the collision demonstrates the need for more aggressive action and investment to improve space situational awareness. The Boeing company says 3 orders for its 777 were placed last week, raising its tally of aircraft orders for the year to 22. That compares with 190 at the same time last year, and it's still 10 less than the number of canceled orders so far this year. Boeing added that plans are to maintain current production levels through the remainder of 2009, but said it will likely slow production next year to keep pace with reduced demand. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University and Frasca International announced yesterday they will unveil the first integrated flight training device with virtual air traffic control commands to give student pilots more realistic training. The new FTD is designed specifically for general aviation pilot training. It's called SAFETE, S-A-F-T-E. It stands for Synthetic Automated Flight Training Environment with Virtual Air Traffic, or VAT. It'll be demonstrated at Embry-Riddle's National Training Aircraft Symposium next week on the Daytona Beach campus. The annual event brings together academics, industry leaders, and manufacturers to discuss and exhibit the latest trends and equipment in aviation education. The new sim combines flight plans with voice recognition technology to allow a student to fly in a particular situation or airspace and receive specific commands from a virtual air traffic controller. The technology frees the flight instructor from role-playing and allows repetitive, learned behaviors in scenario-based situations. Embry-Riddle will be the first beta test user of SAFETE with VAT in its aviation labs, but not for actual instruction during the test. Commercial release of the product is expected in the fourth quarter of this year. And finally, if you are considering booking a flight on CQ Air, a new airline based at Harrisburg International Airport in Pennsylvania, we're sorry to tell you the airline appears to have been a front for a prostitution ring. Federal prosecutors have charged 47-year-old Roger Sedlak, his wife Mariana, and partner Kelly Kaler with multiple charges involving interstate commerce and prostitution. Several other women were also charged with misdemeanors after a sting at the Hampton Inn in Latham reportedly found the ring operating in motel rooms rented by Sedlak on the premise that they were for conducting airline business. Well, here's where the story gets fun. The Albany Times Union reports Sedlak received $75,000 from the FAA and $12,500 from two unnamed counties to subsidize the startup of the fictitious airline. All right, this one's all yours. There are a dozen jokes you could insert here. Oh, all right, I'll get you started. This was the only airline where unbundling meant the flight was over. It was the only airline still offering pillows at no extra charge. Sedlak was disappointed to find his first choice for a stock symbol already taken by Southwest. All right, that's enough. You can take it from here. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in part one of a series we're calling Lessons from Flight 1549, hear the testimony of U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sullenberger before the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.